Good morning, everyone. He's dressed like Charlie Brown with his little striped shirt. And he is Dr. Brandon Breening from Breening Total Wellness Center. I never can remember the address. It's close to 24th and Cedar. What is your actual address?
1210 North 24th Street.
1210 North 24th. You are on the corner, off the corner of 24th and Cedar, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. I know where you are.
Yeah.
I just don't know your address. Okay, good.
That's okay.
You've been doing this now with me for several years.
It's been quite a few years.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we are related. Although, as his father would say, not really. But, you know, the bloodline courses through
you. Well, Dad,
your father is not blood
related
to me, but you are blood related to me through your mother. Dr. Brandon Breening is a doctor of chiropractic and the third generation in his family to practice right here in Quincy. It basically in the same clinic. You've changed the name, but
73. Grandma moved out there.
Yeah. So it's really fascinating. Dr. Sheila Laws, Dr. Diana Franklin, and now Dr. Brandon Breening carrying on that tradition. The other day I saw a pro football player take a hit, and I knew exactly. I felt his pain because he couldn't straighten his neck out.
Yeah.
And they were immediately taking him back to the, you know, I'm sure they have a chiropractor, probably a team chiropractor. He couldn't straighten out his neck. You could just tell there were big bad problems.
Yeah.
Sometimes people wake up or they drive all day, like you're going to be driving over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house, and man, your neck and shoulders just start to ache. Why is that, Dr. Brandon Breening?
Well, you know, sometimes there's no real apparent reason. You know, when you are doing something that your body is not used to doing, it tends to rebel against that at times. So, you know, driving over the river and through
that,
the woods,
yeah.
Certainly you're going to activate some more muscles in your upper back. Those rhomboid muscles will get the workout that they don't get, although rhomboids get more of a workout in this day and age than they ever did because of computer work. Grandma always used to say that, oh, you're only going to see rhomboids in truck drivers. Well, not anymore.
Ah.
You see them act with trigger points a lot more than truck drivers these days.
So because of the way we hold our bodies, and of course sometimes when you're driving or if you're playing a video game, you're under stress, you know, you're stressed because you're like gripping the wheel, you're trying to be safe, or you're trying to beat your opponent and get a higher score. You can tense up, and that also causes muscle strain, right?
Absolutely. And you know what moves bones out of place is muscles.
Okay, you know, so if you wake up some morning and your neck is all akimbo and you can't get it straightened back out, call Dr. Breening.
Not right now.
Are you on vacation now for the rest of the year?
No, but my first available appointment is January 9th. So,
see how successful I've made you?
Yes.
You credit it all to me, don't you?
I do. I'm going to Utah for the Fellowship of Catholic University Students SEAT Conference January 1st.
Really? Are you going to see your cousins when you're out there?
I doubt it.
Yeah, because
I'm not going to the temple. I will see, not cousins, no. But my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and their kids will be there. So Molly's side.
Oh, are they chiropractors? Oh no, it's not a chiropractic convention.
No.
It's a Christian Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Have fun.
I will try.
Okay.
It's in Salt Lake.
Yeah. Well, you know. There's one that they live close. They might go by and wave.
Yeah. Well, and the kids want to go to Arches.
Arches National Monument. You're taking your children?
Good. Yeah. Yeah. And they would like to go at night and see the stars, but I don't know how much I want to drive in the mountains in Utah in the winter at night. So.
Well, why don't you make that decision later on when you know what the weather conditions are? Already poo-pooing the idea.
I haven't poo-pooed the idea.
You know, your children want to do something, Dr. Breening.
Well,
and
it's
only
my job to
want.
Poo-poo all the ideas. If there's anything Uncle Charlie taught me,
No, Uncle Charlie never taught you grown-ups are in charge because you kids rule. I mean, no, there's no way. There's no way that you kids weren't in charge at all times when you were with Uncle Charlie.
Well, maybe Daniel.
Well, that's true. He was the favorite, as we say. But you were the first.
I was the first.
You were the first, you little adorable, little adorable member of our family. So much has changed just in, like you said, the world of chiropractic since you've been a doctor, and you're not old by any stretch. You mentioned things like seeing the rhomboid muscle be more involved than it ever was in years past. We don't get calluses on our hands from driving a mule team in the field anymore, but, you know, we still have things that happen to us. I know you brought some topics to talk about today, but a lot of times, you know, people are going to climb up on a ladder to put the star on top of the tree, or they've already been out doing the lights, and snow and ice are just around the corner.
Yeah.
These are extremely dangerous times because a fall can change a trajectory for a year, because it can take you up to a full year to recover.
Absolutely.
From some traumatic injury like that.
Yeah. I have a patient who he's in his 80s, and he fell, and he actually, I do mostly phone consults with him, but he sent me a picture of his x-ray that his orthopedist had took, and he was having a lot of lower back pain a week after his fall, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, that doesn't look quite right. And I'm like, your orthopedist didn't say anything about this? And he's like, no. I was like, well, why don't you call your primary and see if you can get some more imaging done? Because it turned out he had a compression fracture. And that's why he had all that pain down there. Now, as a chiropractor, with a compression fracture, you want to avoid that for
a
while.
You can't really be adjusting, can you? No.
It's already compressed. You're not going to compress it more, but it is fractured. It's different than a bone fracture because it's not displaced. It does have some healing to do, but
you can't put a cast on it.
You can't put a cast on it. There are a lot of things that you can't do with it. They can and do, and he actually had a kyphoplasty done.
What in the heck is a kyphoplasty?
Where they inject cement into it to stabilize it, and sometimes that will raise it back up to more of a normal height. But, I mean, even that was 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago that he had his kyphoplasty done. He's still in a decent amount of pain because the healing has to be done, and because you've taken these muscles that have spent 80 plus years knowing one thing, and then you've changed where they're still attached in the same places, but the length that they need to be in order to control the joint is completely different. So because of that, the body is going to tighten other muscles to try and stabilize that area. And it's just that tightening of muscles gives you a lot of pain.
And that's why it is so critical that we prevent falls and prevent injuries and be careful in the traffic accident. Go to your chiropractor right away, because the longer you let something foment, a good Charlie word, the longer you let something foment, the longer it will take to get over it. And frankly, you know, if you're an old lady like me or somebody in their 80s, you are going to have months of recovery because you just don't have the bounce back ability that you did have. Right. Dr. Brandon Breeny, my guest today, so be very careful, you know. It's important to keep your sidewalk clean and, you know, all that other stuff. But just remember, how much do you have to go to that place today if you broke your hip or if you broke your leg?
Yeah.
Would it be worth the trip, you know? Do you really need that thing from the grocery store that your wife says you absolutely have to have?
Well,
so,
if my wife said I do, then I'd better
go that's out and true. Get it, you better
right?
go out and get it. That is so very true. Yeah, you are right. You know, that's the other thing. You are married to the sweetest, nicest woman. So how do you not just, like, roll all over her? How does she control you in her sweet, gentle, kind way? Because you seem to be a loving husband who will do anything for her. As opposed to me, somebody was saying, I was talking about a vacation I was going to take this summer, and they said, well, what if Greg, you know, gets sick and he needs you? I said, as long as he can give his own nutrition to himself, I'm going, you know, the caring, compassionate caretaker that I am. How do you account for the fact that your wife is so sweet?
She's different at home sometimes.
I have never seen that.
Well, of course not. You know.
But you pretty much do what she wants, right? I mean, you kind of acquiesce to her demands.
Sometimes. Yeah. Okay. We've gotten better. We've had some times.
Now, the trouble is now you don't have time to fight each other because you have teenagers in the house. It doesn't matter what you think of each other.
My teenagers barely leave the house unless they're going to the theater or
But I mean, you have work. To you have to form a united front to keep them together.
No, there's no united front. It's all of them against me, and that's okay.
Okay.
Just the way it is.
Well, you have a dog. Doesn't the dog?
Oh, my gosh. No, the dog is definitely not on my team.
Okay. The dog's not in your list either. Poor Dr. Brandon Breeding. No wonder he's such a good co-director. He finds solace in the office. What did you bring us today? What do you want to talk about today? You always bring these medical journals that nobody has ever read to learn about phyoplasty or whatever you just said and injecting concrete into people and stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about this one real quick just because nobody's going to be worried about it for the next however many days we have left until the first. But after the first, everybody's going to think, well, what can I do to curb some obesity? And they have found that endocannabinoids hold potential to curb obesity. And what they found is, because actually during the 2000s, they were using the endocannabinoid system to do that, but people got depression. That didn't work out so well.
Is this smoking pot? What are you talking about?
No, well, I don't know what exactly they're doing, but they're not talking about smoking pot, but smoking pot activates the endocannabinoid system.
So it's taking a cannabis product.
They don't actually say what they use in here, but
you have to get cannabis into your system somehow, usually
right.
Like a gummy or something. So yeah. You're telling me that can make you lose weight? Because I thought that cannabis gave you the munchies.
That's what I was thinking,
yeah.
too. They were actually surprised when they did this study because you would expect for this to happen that these people would get the munchies and eat more, but it actually made them eat less and exercise more. They didn't do it on people. They did it on mice. So,
well, I imagine though, if you control the dose so that you're not stoned, I guess would be a layman's way to do it. You wouldn't get the munchies necessarily. There'd be a therapeutic.
Yeah,
there'd be a therapeutic.
The other thing
amount.
They were doing with these, they were injecting it right into their brain in a specific spot. So. I'm not going to go in for my daily injection just so I can lose 50 pounds. But
how do you even inject something in somebody's brain? You've got a skull.
Well, these are mice.
Oh, mice.
Yeah, they're doing it in mice. So
okay.
They so still have a skull
stoned?
Too, but they probably actually just removed that part of the skull
now I'm sickened.
Make it easy to.
Now I'm sickened. Okay.
Put in, but I don't know. I don't know.
So
do
these let me ask you this question. Not a legality aspect or a moral aspect. It, you know, there's a lot of concern. Illinois and Missouri are both getting bills to try to limit THC in some of these over-the-counter medications, you know, hemp and stuff like that, that can have hallucinogenic properties. As a doctor, do you ever tell people that, you know, therapeutic dose of marijuana would be beneficial?
You know, that doesn't come up too often with me, but I do have colleagues I have a colleague that works in California. He was one of my teachers. And he does a lot of work with migraines, and, his philosophy on that, which just makes sense to me, is, I'd much rather you were taking something natural than something that was man-made. And the something that, we don't have a lot of history of research on, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, they do studies, but these studies go so well initially that just like this endocannabinoid system, right? That thing was great until they find out people were committing suicide and completely depressed.
So you're skinny and dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I would much rather you're on something natural than something that was not natural. That being said, you need what you need when you need it. So if we need drugs to take care of your problem, well, thank God the drugs are there so that we can calm that down while we work on whatever else is going on.
Yeah, so, because I know that you do natural muscle relaxants, but you also have said get your medical doctor to prescribe a muscle relaxant for you. Because, again, if you've had a fracture of your spinal column, you know, a compression fracture, that's going to be some pain, and the muscles are, you know, they're...
Yep.
So I like the idea that chiropractors and doctors are working more in tandem with each other. I think that that is a good sign that we're using a holistic approach, which you always try to do in your practice.
I do. I think we spend far too much time saying that one person is wrong when they might be wrong in that case, but they're not always wrong.
Okay. One more quick tip before I let you go, and then I'll see you Christmas Eve. Are you going to make that glug stuff again?
Do you need some? Greg needs some.
Greg likes glug or whatever
glug.
It's called. Glug. What's it called?
I call it glug.
Glug, glock, glug, lick,
whatever.
Glock. Yeah.
Yeah. Potato, Greg, potato. Right?
Greg actually is your patient, not me. I haven't seen you in... When was the last time I ever... You just don't have time for me.
Well, I mean, you know.
But Greg always, can you get me in? And
he
whines.
Finds
and
a way
he,
in.
You know, he just comes in and presents.
The right person.
Presents himself.
You know, if you ever need to get in, you just call my wife. That's done.
Okay. okay. Yeah.
Anyhow, diets that reduce brain iron delay cognitive decline. So what they did was they put people on diets that included a lot of antioxidants. And even some things that bound iron, and those helped these people to not have as much iron in their brain, and they showed less cognitive decline because of it. So get your antioxidants in.
I thought iron was good for you.
Iron is great for you. You need iron, but iron deposits... are
it
not
oxidizes
great
and rusts. That's
right.
What iron does. So right. You don't want it to be rusty.
Well, you don't want a rusty brain. Yeah, I don't know that it actually rusts your brain, but it deposits into the places that it shouldn't eventually. Okay. And that's they say non-heme iron. Heme iron is obviously the iron that we use in that ends up in blood cells. Because
this is why a lot of guys, it's healthy for them to give blood because they have too much iron in their blood.
And absolutely.
American Red Cross helps offload that and actually keeps them healthy.
I gave blood twice in the last, three months?
Good.
4 months? I don't know.
Whatever
is legally allowed. I just gave the Friday after Thanksgiving was my last time. So
your blood, somebody got pumpkin pie and, did you eat my Brussels sprouts?
I didn't eat your Brussels sprouts.
I knew it. Thank you very much. I'll see you on Christmas Eve. What are you to me? You're my
first cousin
once
removed. Yeah.
Go remove yourself right now.
Yeah, I'm going to say someday.
Someday.
Really be removed.
Someday he'd really like to be removed.
Be nice to me.
I will.
You know who's going to have to take care of you when you get old? It's going to be Tristan and I.
I know, because I have no children. Well, the king is coming home to scout out the situation, too, because he's a little bit worried about who's going to take care of him. So, but you know what? I already have a room waiting for me in Idaho.
Idaho? Well, that's good.
But you can take care of Greg because he's not invited. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Thank you so much. Dr. Brandon Breening, Rex Battery, brings you this report. The chief of police is sitting out there going, I may have to use force. Thank you for Rex Battery for sponsoring this report, and thank you to our Chief of Police, Adam Yates. You know, not many radio stations would have a police department and a fire department that came in once a month just to talk about public safety, and I really appreciate that, and I hope you'll continue that into the coming year.
Well, plan on
now
it.
Now you have to, don't you, because I said that.
Well, it's a great opportunity to come in and chat and, you know, just inform the public about various things that are going on, so we appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's talk about training, because Lieutenant Chad Scott, I hope I get his rank right, an investigative officer, just got back from an intensive FBI training session in Quantico, Virginia at the FBI Academy.
Yep.
And why is it so important? I mean, the guy's been a police officer for 23 years. Why is additional training so important, Chief? Why do you encourage that?
Well, even for just your normal patrol officers and detectives, ongoing training is very important. The law is always changing. Techniques are always changing. There's always new ways to look at and do things. So ongoing training is very important, but especially for those officers that ultimately get promoted. You know, you get promoted to sergeant, you get promoted to lieutenant. There's a lot of additional responsibilities that you take on that you may not have been familiar with, or that have, you know, various human resource or legal ramifications, things like that. So ongoing and continuing education and training is very important. And as a commanding officer within a police department, there's a lot of just additional leadership type training that is key to be successful. And yeah, Chad just completed his 11 weeks at the National Academy. It's a very prestigious training organization. I was out there for actually a couple of weeks over the course of this year, and they really do a fantastic job out there.
Have you completed that training?
I have not. It's something that's difficult to get into.
It's 11 weeks.
You're right. We send all of our lieutenants to the School of Police Staff and Command, which is a course that's sponsored by the Northwestern Center for Public Safety. But the FBI National Academy is a lot more difficult to get into. We were fortunate to get Chad a slot in there, but you have to be sponsored by your local field office. So those spots are pretty hard to come by.
So it's really rarefied air that this man has achieved this. I mean, I said it on the news this morning. I don't know that I gave him enough kudos, because I don't really quite understand it, except to know that very few people are accepted or can graduate
You have to be of a specific rank in a police department. You also have to commit to serving at least three additional years in law enforcement, so you don't get to go to this and then retire. And then, of course, you know, just the very selective process. I mean, there's a physical agility test that you have to pass to get in. It's very, you know, challenging as far as academics. So, yeah, we're very proud of the fact that he's completed the training.
Now, does he take that training and then move on to another department, or does he stay here? And what was the city of Quincy's buy-in for his training, or did he pay for that all himself?
So, number one, the training is completely free.
Oh.
That's one of the, you know,
kind of like West Point, if you can get in.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, the FBI, I mean, matter of fact, they pay for the travel and the whole nine yards. So, you know, it's obviously very cost effective for us, other than losing him for 11 weeks.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I mean, it's really up to Chad. I would be terribly disappointed if he was to leave our department now and go somewhere else.
But he has to stay in law enforcement for 3 years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to. There's no like written, they're going to take back your certificate if you don't. But it's, you know, he's got 23 years on. If he were to do his 30 years, we're definitely going to get our money's worth out of him. And, you know, obviously going forward, you know, when I retire, there will be opportunities for deputy chiefs and new chiefs and things like that. So we hope that this is all part of our, you know, our just future, looking forward at the police department, making sure that we have leaders in place that can move the department forward after those of us that are currently in leadership positions are gone.
We have had a change in the way that the firefighters and police officers are hired in the city of Quincy. There's no longer a requirement that you have to live in the city limits or close to the city limits. You have to live somewhat close, but they've opened that up because you were having trouble filling police officer and firefighter positions. Have you seen now any downside? Now the fire department and the police department are pretty much at full strength, but the rule still is in existence. Can you foresee a downside to that?
I don't believe... I mean, in terms of operations, I've not seen any downside. I mean, it was back in the very early 2000s when we transitioned to residency within Adams County. That went from the city limits then to the three tri-township area and then Adams County. We've never really had an issue, you know, with the need to recall officers and have officers getting there in a timely manner to cover some, you know, major incident that might be going on. I would guess maybe the fire department would have a little more of an issue with that if they had an ongoing major structure fire of some sort. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, I say you could live just as far in Adams County as you now can into Missouri. So the distance really isn't any different other than getting here. You know, we've not seen any downside, nor did I expect we would see any downside in that transition.
Okay. Chief Adam Yates is my guest today on the Mary Griffith Show. We are at 947. You always come prepared to talk about certain things that I'm certainly not aware of. So what's on the police department agenda? I know you have an annual report, and you've submitted that. And mm-hmm. is crime up, down, sideways? I know people actually don't lock their cars and leave the keys in. And amazingly, four vehicles got stolen with the keys in the ignition.
Yeah, that's an issue that we continue to try to educate the public on. You know, again, I've heard people say, you know, you have the right to leave your keys in your vehicle and have nobody steal your car. And I agree with them 100%. My point is it's not always easy for us to figure out who's doing this. And so, therefore, if we make it very easy for especially juveniles to commit crimes, you know, I just try to, you know, try to encourage people to not leave, you know, a billboard in front of their house that says, hey, come take my stuff, even though you technically have the right to have a billboard in front of your house that says, come take my stuff. So it really comes down to not wanting these crimes of opportunity to exist. Hopefully we deter these juveniles. And ultimately, we're still conducting our investigations. We're going to hold people accountable when we can develop probable cause for who's committing these crimes. But as juveniles, there are certain legal limits, and there's only going to be so much punishment that they're going to get because they are juveniles. That's something we've been dealing with in law enforcement for a long time. So, you know, again, just encourage folks to just make it more difficult for those thieves that are out just looking for opportunities to do things instead of, you know, specifically targeting something because of the value or things like that.
When your son does it, it's my little angel made a mistake. When somebody else's son does it to you, I want him locked up forever
right. Because
he crashed my car.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. What are some of the biggest crime problems in Quincy? And, you know, we talk about this because you have said this, and I even did a news story about it because I thought it was so prescient. He said, you know, people get mad because we pull people over for speeding or not wearing a seatbelt, or then we find out they don't have insurance and we ticket them for that. But that impacts more people on a per capita basis than somebody getting murdered in the middle of the street. Thank God.
Right.
You know, but it's this low level crime that annoys us all, that really people want to feel safe. And, you know, so what are the big criminal, what are the things that the Quincy Police Department sees as we've got to put more manpower into this, or we've got to try to harder to get this number down or this trend down?
Well, I think the vehicle burglars and the vehicle thefts are the big one right now. In, you know, I would say if you'd asked me that question 12 months ago, I would have told you that it's, you know, the issue with shootings, juveniles who have guns that are threatening one another. Things like that. You know, I think, you know, just subjectively, we've seen a downturn in that type of activity, thankfully, over the last 12 months.
Because parents are called on the carpet when their child does something wrong, not that the parent understands, there's court cases now where the parent has some responsibility.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true in the criminal aspect.
Okay.
There may be some civil, you know, ramifications, but for us, what I think it comes down to is because we had so many issues, 12 months prior, and we've made several arrests and several people were held accountable, you hope that maybe the message is getting out that we take this type of activity very seriously and we're going to investigate it and we're going to hold those who are responsible accountable for what they're doing. You know, any crime trends ebb and flow. Right now we're seeing an uptick in fraud-type crimes where folks are, you know, I mean, forging checks, things like that, something that we hadn't seen in quite a while, at least not in any significant number, and now that seems to be on the uptick. So it really, you know, it's just whatever, you know, I guess the criminals kind of latch onto for a little bit and feel like they're going to get away with. But right now our investigative section is dealing with a lot of fraud, forgery type of cases. Involving banking and Bitcoin and, you know, just, you know, standard forged checks, things like that. So that's kind of a trend right now.
Recently arrested someone in Florida for crimes committed allegedly in Quincy.
Correct.
Where they were pretending to be an insurance adjuster and taking money and stuff like that. And I think you said in the press release, this probably is someone who's committed this crime, not just in Adams County, but, you know, possibly in other places
all
in the United States.
Right.
So they go to the place of opportunity, mm-hmm. and wherever that is, they follow the storm, and that's part of the problem.
Right.
So how much of it is our own responsibility to keep ourselves safe? Because there's not a police officer standing on every corner. So, you know, like you said, leaving my keys in my car doesn't give somebody permission to steal my car. I also could leave a basket of money out on my front porch. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I mean, most people have some common sense. For example, people are now following Amazon trucks. I don't think they're doing it so much in Quincy, but mm-hmm. they're following Amazon trucks around. And literally, the Amazon driver has had packages taken out of their hand as they get out of the truck.
Right.
Now, again, how much of a fight do you want to put up? I mean, if I'm an Amazon driver, that's not my response.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad, and if I could do something, I would. But I'm not getting in a fight with somebody over somebody's, you know, package.
Right. Yeah, I mean, securing your property, like you said, using common sense, these are all things that ultimately we hope that folks are going to put in place to make themselves less of a target. It's very difficult. Somebody gets your bank account, gets a hold of one of your checks. I mean, it really, the sky's the limit at that point. There's nothing you can do to keep them from committing a fraud or forging your check. But what you can do is you can keep an eye on your bank statements and your bank accounts. And when charges are coming through that you don't recognize, immediately calling your bank and saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? So that we can get on these things sooner rather than later, especially the banks. You know, the you know, your credit card statements, once, you know, I realize I'm kind of goofy like that. I look at my statements every day, all the activity on my credit card, and actually I don't even use a credit card, but my bank statement. And I even have conversations with my wife, like, what is this here? You know, do you recognize this one? And we've never had an issue, but it's really, yeah, it comes into locking
your
stuff.
Oh, you've had an issue with stuff she's bought, and
no,
she's
no.
had an issue with stuff you bought, but you just didn't have a fraud issue.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we have the same discussion in our house, and trust me, there's issues.
Yeah, well, as long as she recognizes it and somebody hasn't gotten into our account, I'm usually all right with it. But no, so yeah, it really comes down to, there's things that you can do, and then there's things that you can't, and, you know, we do safety talks where, you know, I realize I don't want somebody stealing my package off my porch, but if it comes down to getting into a physical confrontation with somebody, that's really a personal decision, and likely someone's going to get hurt. And if that person was to pull out a gun and shoot you, even though they may have been committing a crime, now we ultimately, you're injured, you're dead, and for what? You know, for an Amazon package or for something like that. And so it really just comes down to just preparing yourself, securing your property, and then being aware of your surroundings and understand what should you do if something like that happens, so that you're not trying to come up with a plan in the midst of some type of mess.
We'll take a break when we come back, our remaining moments, with Adam Yates, Chief of Police of Quincy.